WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Evening, folks. Welcome into the student section's college football wrap-up here on 90.7 The Capstone, still an off-season edition. Today's January 29th, and we're live here from the University of Alabama on a rainy night in Tuscaloosa. As always, I'm Nicholas Persley, joined tonight by Joe Schatz. How we doing?
Pretty good. Kind of the rainy night sets the mood, I think, for the campus. We talked about it a little pre-show, and obviously we're not going to get into it, but Alabama's athletics, a little disappointment of a week, so maybe we'll bounce back. But still happy to be here, talk some college football. Got some interesting topics, so looking forward to getting into it.
For sure, and as always, Adam Hambright.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat, you know, kind of a depressing week here on campus with our sports, but I think there were just enough bright spots to kind of look forward to the future. But, you know, this is a football show, so we're not going to get into all those, but hopefully we get some better news from the football team too soon.
Yeah. So before we kind of get started here, I've got a bunch of different things to just kind of shout out. First off, as much as it pains me as a Cowboys fan, the Eagles are headed to the Super Bowl. Four Bama players, of course, Devonta Smith, Jalen Hurts, who is an Alabama graduate. Alabama claims him.
He claims Alabama, and like, look, he led us to two national championship games, and then, you know, his third season, you know, he stays as the backup, comes into the SEC championship to beat Georgia to send us back to the playoff. I mean, how much more Alabama can you get going, like helping the team to three straight playoff appearances?
Yeah, so I don't really think there's a debate there.
No.
Like, I don't even think it's close.
Look, I'll still let Oklahoma claim them, but you can't say we can't, you know.
Landon Dickerson, Josh Jobe. So congratulations to those four guys headed to the Super Bowl. Can't get much better than that. You know, I was just kind of wondering if y'all saw this. Apparently, the Empire State Building lit up in green and white today. Ooh. To celebrate the Eagles winning or going to the Super Bowl, which just makes zero sense to me. I mean, checked. It was a verified account. It is the Empire State Building account.
I mean, the only thing I could kind of compare that to would be, you know, when all the smaller SEC schools, you know, cheer for, you know, Alabama or Georgia when they do something big. But, like, that's the NFL. Like, that's one of your biggest rivals, especially, you know, I mean, none of those two teams out there, but the Giants and the Eagles, it's a huge rivalry. I kind of understand how you let that happen.
Yeah, somebody said they had, like, Jets colors ready to go that they've never used and they just wanted to use them.
Okay, yeah, maybe.
You know, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, maybe next year. Apparently, you know, with their new hire at offensive coordinator, you know, the Jets hired Nathaniel Hackett, apparently trying to get Aaron Rodgers to come over there next season. So if that happens, maybe.
Who knows? Yeah,
the offense visionary.
And last thing, a wonderful anthem tonight before the Bengals and Chiefs game. Just shout out there. That was fantastic. I think who's covering it? CBS had a great shot of one of the Chiefs players crying on the sideline before the game. That's a powerful shot. So I just wanted to shout that out because that was awesome. So first segment here, you know, a celebration, if you will, in Tuscaloosa in recent times. Bill O'Brien is officially out as the Alabama offensive coordinator. Interviewed and headed to be the Patriots offensive coordinator. You know, he gets to coach Mac Jones. So how do we feel about Bill O'Brien finally being gone from Alabama?
I mean, I think from a just purely on the field aspect, I think it was a smart move. I mean, you can kind of tell the offense hadn't really been getting any better. It actually, some could say, got worse this past season. You know, and I think the key part of, I mean, there were times in which you could actually pinpoint throughout the season that the offense, like, there were just too many questionable calls. I mean, Texas A&M game, you know, you got your backup quarterback and you're taking 40-yard deep shots, you know, way too much. You know, you're at Tennessee, potentially the last drive of the game, and you decide to throw it three times and kicker misses a kick. Tennessee goes down and scores and wins the game. You know, there are probably countless other times that somebody or a lot of people just shrugged and moaned about Bill O'Brien's play calling. So I think it was a good move for Alabama. And to be honest, it was probably like a good move for O'Brien, too, just to get back into the NFL. But on the Alabama side of it, I don't hear too many complaints. So I think it was a smart move, and you know, kind of sets maybe Saban trying to reestablish that standard again.
Yeah, I mean, with Bill O'Brien as offense coordinator, like, we still had, you know, decent offense. And some could even say, you know, above average offense. You know, he was still averaging, you know, close to 400, maybe 500 yards a game. But it just, it wasn't the same. And I don't know if it was just the plays that were called, or, like, maybe the plays would work if they were just in, like, a different order, you know, if he wasn't so predictable, especially with how we had been used to seeing the offense run, you know, going back, you know, Lane Kiffin, Steve Sarkisian, even Mike Locksley. Like, they were, those offenses, you know, seemed less predictable than how this one was. And some could argue that even though the offense still put up numbers, it was more of the talent, you know, being better than what they were given, you know. So, I'm glad he's gone. I hope he does great in New England. I hope Mac Jones has a good career with him. But we, as the University of Alabama and our football team, we needed to step in a different direction with our offense.
Yeah, we definitely need a refresh. I mean, for me, it's just a lack of creativity in the play calling. Extremely predictable, like you said, Adam. So, for me, I mean, of course, I think this is the right decision. I think almost every single person in Tuscaloosa would agree with Bill O'Brien being gone. But, you know, hopefully he does great things with Mac Jones and the Patriots. You know, this will be the third offensive coordinator in five seasons for Alabama. But, you know, the Alabama job's kind of become a pathway to getting, you know, a head coaching position, going back to coaching the NFL. Lane Kiffin, Sark, two great examples, obviously. But I'll ask, what do we want to see most from a new offensive coordinator of, you know, the potential guys? You know, we have a list of candidates that we're going to run down here in a minute, but, you know, what would we want to see from a new offensive coordinator? What needs to change for Alabama to get back in the winner's circle, I guess?
I mean, I think it just starts with, to be honest, just not a pro guy. I mean, somebody who's not an NFL. I mean, we saw, you know, we've seen guys go from college to the NFL, and you know, a couple guys have come, you know, the opposite way that have worked out. But, I mean, Bill O'Brien, you could clearly see that he wasn't running an offense that was going to necessarily do well in college. I mean, he was taking, you know, he wasn't, like we were talking about, he was a little predictable. It was a little, you know, like he knew that, or he assumed he had a certain level of talent, which is kind of what you can do in the NFL, but you can't necessarily do that in college, especially if you don't have the talent, especially at like a position like receiver. And I just think it's just not stagnant play calling. I mean, you know, and it's unfair to compare maybe Bill O'Brien to Steve Sarkisian, but when you looked at how Steve Sarkisian was able to get guys open and able to basically scheme a play in which, you know, you would have Devontae Smith guarded by a linebacker, and like Ohio State's defense didn't have a choice really on the matter, because of the movement and because of the scheme and the way the play was going. I think that's just what Alabama needs to do, because that's kind of the way of college football now. It's you got to get your best players in wide open areas pretty much, and you know, I don't think Bill O'Brien could do that, and I'm sure some of the guys that we'll talk to, they probably have a history of doing it. So I think that's kind of the move that needs to be made.
Yeah, I definitely agree with all of that, especially, you know, with the scheming and the matchups, like just getting people to the right locations on the field where they can make a difference. But I want to see, you know, more creativity, not just in the scheme, but like in the plays themselves. When is the last time we saw Alabama run a trick play?
Well,
I can't remember a time. Like, and we're not going to talk about like outrageous trick plays, but just a
no Cowboys just a Z climb.
Yeah, none of that. Just like a flea flicker or a reverse. When is the last time Alabama has done that? And I'm not saying that you have to do that to win games, and definitely don't do it every game, but just show them that you have it so that they have to respect it. So that opens up the rest of the field. Like, I don't want to just see, okay, it's another run play to the left, and now we're going to do a screen. Oh, now it's third and eight, so now let's throw it deep. You know, just something a little different, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I definitely want to get away from, okay, it's first down, we're definitely running the ball. Like, yeah. No questions asked, the ball's being run. You know, real quickly, I will say, so that we're not, you know, too hard dogging on Bill O'Brien, is that he probably should have a national championship under his belt if Jameson Williams and Mechie don't go down, you know, the first time around against Georgia. But, you know, who's to say, you know, he doesn't. That's the fact. So yeah, I mean, for me, it's just more creativity. I mean, you know, you look at, I was watching the Chiefs and Bengals, and I mean, the Chiefs are running crazy stuff. They're throwing laterals after 20-yard completions. I mean, like, that's the kind of creativity that I want to see, especially with the caliber of athlete that Alabama brings in. You've got so many guys on that roster who, you know, can surprise you, do different stuff, and we just didn't see any of that from Bill O'Brien this year.
I think the other thing too is, I mean, I agree with all you're saying. I mean, I definitely think we need more creativity in the play calling. The other thing too is that, like, I just want a running game to some extent again. I feel like we just never had that last year, to a point where, I mean, we would get on the show even last semester and be like, okay, Jahmyr Gibbs had a big game. Maybe he'll get a bunch of carries the next game, and then he'll get 10 carries for 15 yards and a touchdown, you know, or something like that. And it's like that. And I think those kind of feed off of each other. Like, if you have a really creative and dynamic passing game, your running game does become open. But I would just like to see a return to that. And you know, to be honest, I did kind of want to throw this in there. When you're talking about how Bill O'Brien should have had the national championship, and Jameson Williams going down in that game was killer, but at the end of the day, Alabama was winning that game, I believe, at the time he got hurt, and the offense looked completely different. And, I mean, you still have a level of athlete out there, even if it's not Jameson Williams. You still have a guy out there, and, you know, he just couldn't get it done. So, I mean, I think that the way that he attacked that game was bad when Williams got hurt, but, you know, that's in the past, so.
And, you know, obviously it wasn't all of the offense's fault for that game. If the defense, no, you know, makes a couple more stops, we also probably still win that game. So we are still looking for a defensive coordinator as well. Hopefully we get, you know, a good combination that can give us 1 to 2 seasons before they're at another head coaching job, you know. But that's where we're at right now.
Yeah, Alabama on the search for a new offensive coordinator and a defensive coordinator. Clean slate at Alabama. Anyway, when we come back, we're going to talk about all the potential candidates that I've seen for offensive coordinator when we come back here on 90.7 Jackson.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the College Football Wrap-Up Show here on 90.7 Capstone, off-season edition. Quick score update. The Chiefs are leading at halftime against the Bengals 13-6.
Which means you can listen and not have to worry about anything. So,
yeah, it's not like they blew a lead last year. Anyway, we're going to get right into, you know, we just talked in the last segment about how Bill O'Brien officially gone as Alabama OC. No hires have been made yet, so we're going to kind of go down a list of potential candidates and kind of, you know, give our thoughts. So first up on the list of potential candidates, we've got Joe Brady. He was the passing game coordinator and receivers coach at LSU in 2019. That's a pretty great title to have for that team. Obviously won the national championship that year. Joe Burrow killing it in the NFL. He was the quarterback coach for the Bills this season. Josh Allen, of course. And he's relatively young, only 33 years old. So one of the younger candidates on this list, I do believe. So just kind of, we'll go around the table. How would you feel about Joe Brady being the potential offensive coordinator at Alabama next season?
I mean, I wouldn't hate it at all. I mean, I think it would actually be a pretty good move for both sides, obviously. I mean, he would kind of step up from maybe quarterback's coach to being a little bigger overall, probably getting paid a little more as Alabama OC. But I would like it. I mean, you know, had a lot of success at LSU, kind of flipped that whole team around from the 2018 to 2019. So, you know, I would be you know, I wouldn't say thrilled, but I would be happy with higher.
So this is a guy. This is my number one for the job right now. I have heard, and I don't know if they've hired anybody yet. I did hear that Oregon was also looking at Joe Brady to take their offense coordinator position. I don't know if they actually hired somebody yet. But I want him, like, just seeing how good that offense went from 2018 to 2019 at LSU. Like, that's all I really needed to see. And then, you know, he goes to the NFL. He hasn't had the best success in the NFL, and now he's the quarterback's coach of the Bills. And, you know, he don't really have to do a whole lot to make Josh Allen look good. But I think coming back to college, being at Alabama where they're going to get the talent, or, like, on the offensive side, kind of for you to show yourself as an offensive coordinator that can be a head coach someday, maybe. But, like, if we're talking about – creativity in the passing game, this is the perfect guy for the job. And, you know, he's my number one pick right now.
Yeah, so I think I would be for this one. One thing that I will say is that, you know, being the quarterback coach for the Bills this season, not necessarily a great thing. Josh Allen throws 17 picks this year, tied for the league lead in interceptions, and they got destroyed by the Bengals at home. But, you know, like I said, I don't know. You know, obviously he has college experience, possibly the best college experience you can ask for, leading that group of receivers and Joe Burrow at LSU. So, you know, if he could recreate some of that at Alabama, I think that would be a great option.
Yeah. I just wanted to throw in there for Brady. I think another good thing was, you know, he knows the SEC. I mean, as offensive coordinator, you're going to be recruiting guys to come to the school. So if a guy who knows the SEC knows, you know, he knows Alabama pretty well, you know, playing them a couple of times. So, you know, I think that would also be a great move too. Just, you know, bringing a guy that knows the conference, knows the prestige of it.
Yeah, and imagine being able to say, tell a, you know, a kid coming on a recruiting visit, yeah, I made, like, Joe Burrow who he is.
Yeah. And just one quick thing. He's only had one, like, other than when he was a grad assistant. So he was a linebackers coach at William & Mary, 2013-14, Penn State grad assistant. At 2015 to 2016, New Orleans Saints offensive assistant, 2017 to 2018. Then he goes to LSU, 2019, passing game coordinator and wide receivers coach, wins the Broyles Award for best assistant coach in the nation. Obviously, they win the national championship. Then he goes immediately to Carolina Panthers offense coordinator. So he hasn't had the best luck in the NFL, but the Panthers also are not a very good organization. Nope. Right now.
Yeah, you wouldn't judge a guy off that.
We'll rehabilitate his very young career to where he can go and do great things.
So the next candidate that we're going to talk about, Jeff Levy, the Oklahoma offensive coordinator. Not a great year to be a Sooner football fan. He was developed in the Baylor system, coached under Josh Heupel, Lane Kiffin, 39 years old. He's still under contract at Oklahoma, so that does make that a little bit more difficult. But he has a strong recruiting reputation in the college game. So how would we feel about Jeff Levy being the Alabama offensive coordinator?
I mean, I think obviously coming from Oklahoma as a coach doesn't sound great, but offensively, Oklahoma was not that bad. I mean, they were 13th in the nation in yards per game, 10th in rushing yards, and 42nd in passing yards. You know, put up around 33 points a game. So not bad, and considering that Oklahoma did have a lot of turnover, I mean, maybe it's a little unfair to judge some of these guys, but I think he would be the guy where I would kind of put him right under Brady as far as people that I would want, because I do see the potential in him, and he's worked under, like you mentioned, you know, Heupel and Kiffin, and he's actually, randomly, he's Art Briles' son-in-law, the former Baylor coach, who, you know, was a lot of scandals, but, you know, was able to kind of put a lot of points on the board. So, guy knows offense, but yeah, I wouldn't, you know, he would be another guy I wouldn't necessarily be upset with it. But I guess there, maybe Brady would be somebody I'd rather get. But
yeah.
That's just me.
Definitely, I'd be okay with the hire. I don't think it's really going to blow me away like, oh, we got Jeff Levy, you know. But he did graduate from Oklahoma. That's where he went to school. So it might be a little bit harder to get him to leave his alma mater. But if somehow we did get him, I wouldn't be opposed. But he's definitely not the person that I want for the job.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that Jeff Levy is like the guy I really want. You know, obviously, I think he has a ton of experience. I don't love the fact that he's still under contract. So you're probably looking at Alabama having to buy him out from Oklahoma. I just don't really love this one for Alabama. I could see it happening. You know, it's probably like the second most likely one. I still think Brady is the most likely, but you know, I'm not opposed to this one. Next up, we've got Derek Dooley. He's the in-house candidate for the job. He was an analyst for Alabama this past season. He's obviously a Saban product with NFL experience. So how would we feel about Dooley being the offensive coordinator?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing with Dooley is just, like, at least I don't know, and maybe one of you guys can correct me, but I really don't know how much influence he had, like, on this team. I know he was an analyst, and I know he was kind of an in-house guy, and he has experience. I'm not saying he lacks the experience, but, I mean, I just don't know a ton about him as, like, a coach, because I don't necessarily know what he's kind of doing hands-on with practice and play calling and stuff, but you know, I think it wouldn't necessarily be a bad hire from the outside. I mean, he's, you know, he's been with Nick Saban a couple times, I believe.
Yeah,
I believe
he was on LSU.
LSU and I think Miami.
Yeah.
So I mean, you know, he's been with Nick Saban. I think that would kind of make some sense. Probably a lot cheaper of an option financially, but yeah, again, I would necessarily have problems with it. The big problem with me is I just wouldn't know how good he would be stepping up into that role.
I think this would be another kind of one of those hires where it's like, oh, you played it safe. Like, you didn't go out, you didn't try to get, you know, one of these other guys we were talking about. But he did, after he was with Nick Saban at LSU and then Miami Dolphins, he was the tight ends coach there. He did become the head coach at Louisiana Tech from 2007 to 2009. He did so good there that Tennessee offered him the head coaching job, and he was supposed to be kind of that savior of Tennessee right after Lane Kiffin came in for 1 year and left. And then he was there for 3 years, didn't do so hot, gets fired, bounced around. So he goes to Dallas Cowboys wide receivers coach 2013 to 2017. Then he goes to Missouri for offensive coordinator. Then he's been on the Giants for the last couple of years before coming here to be the senior offensive assistant. So this would be another one of those hires where it's like, oh, we're going to hire you. You're going to be the offensive coordinator. You're going to do a good job, and then you're going to go get a head coaching job somewhere, you know, which that's pretty much whoever gets this job is going to be. But this is kind of one of those kind of safer options. Like, you've already got him in-house. You're not having to worry about buying out a contract at Oklahoma. I don't know how many other people are actually offering Derek Dooley a job, so it might be easier for Nick Saban to just go, hey, you know, you got the job. But
yeah,
I would want a bigger splash.
Might be able to save some money to spend on NIL deals. But, you know, like you said, this is a pretty safe one. This one makes a lot of sense to me, really. You know, this guy has been everywhere. He has a ton of experience, a bunch of different schools. He's been with Saban. He was a head coach twice before. And, you know, the Cowboys teams that he was wide receiver coach for were really good on offense. I mean, Dez Bryant selected to 3 Pro Bowls, yeah, the only 3 of his career. First team All-Pro. You know, he made Cole Beasley who he is. They had a fantastic offense during the time he was there. So
Cowboys probably should have won at least one Super Bowl in there.
Yeah.
Dez caught it.
Dez did catch that ball, for the record.
I'm also in the Dez caught it board. So.
Just for the record.
For the record.
Yeah, I mean, this one makes a lot of sense to me. This is a safe option. You know, he's probably not going to fetch the same kind of salary you're going to have to pay a guy like Jeff Levy, a guy like Joe Brady. So this one makes a lot of sense to me. An in-house option, a safe one for Alabama. I like this one. This
but if you do that, spend a little bit more on your defensive coordinator.
Yes. sneaky good option for Nick Saban.
Yeah.
So next up, we've got Scott Frost. How would we feel about Scott Frost?
No.
You know, obviously, he did win the quote-unquote natty at
UCF.
You know, we're just going to declare ourselves national champions and somehow just make championship rings, which, you know, more power to you, I guess. But then, you know, obviously, he was at the helm of Nebraska, which just turned into a disaster. So how do we feel about Scott Frost as Alabama OC?
No. I will say that I think this would be the very classic Alabama move of taking a guy who is an awful college head coach, keeping him in the system for like 2 years, and he comes out and all of a sudden he's like somehow like the head coach at like, I don't know, Rutgers or like Minnesota, and you're like, how is he getting jobs? But I will say, I think offensively it wouldn't be that bad of a move keeping him as an OC. You know, Nebraska was kind of bad. Well, not kind of. They were just really bad. I mean, they never won more than, I believe, 3 games in their conference under him. I mean, to be fair, they barely run 3 as regular games. But I think it just kind of went downhill for him at Nebraska. I wouldn't really expect this to be the move. He doesn't really have an SEC pedigree. He doesn't really have any connection to the program. So I have a feeling he's probably just going to sit on this really massive buyout and enjoy life for a little bit.
Yeah. I don't mind it. If we were to hire him, I mean, obviously, this team at UCF was pretty good, and before that, he was Oregon's offensive coordinator for a couple of years. So he's not a bad offensive guy, but this would be, like you were saying, you know, that typical Alabama hire, especially when you think about the fan backlash. Like, as soon as you hire this guy, you're going to get the same thing that happened when we hired Lane Kiffin. Oh, why are you hiring him? He didn't even want to stay at Tennessee. Like, he was a terrible coach. And then you hired Steve Sarkisian. Oh, he got fired for this and that. It's like, why are you hiring him? So it's going to be the same thing if you do hire this guy. I could see this as more of, you know, that offensive analyst position. I don't think if he's ready to take that, you know, he's still a fairly young guy. You know, I don't think he's ready to take the offensive analyst and then hopefully get the coordinator job in the future. But that's kind of how I would see this one going. Like, I don't really see him getting the offensive coordinator job.
Yeah, I would be really shocked if this one happens. But, you know, like you said, Joe, I mean, this is classic Alabama. It's got Alabama written all over it. And you know what would happen. He would come here, he'd probably do great, and then he'd be the hottest head coaching hire that you could possibly imagine.
Back to Nebraska.
All of a sudden, UCLA is lining up the phone.
Just fix it up.
Ohio State's calling the number.
It's unbelievable. But, you know, look, to kind of look, the situation in Nebraska was bad, but it's going to take somebody special to turn that program around.
Is Matt Rhule the guy?
I don't know. It's going to be hard. I mean, you know how hard it is to get kids to commit to go play.
The problem with
Nebraska,
is that they're in the age of like they're almost in the complete wrong era to try to rebuild. I mean, they're a historical program, but they haven't been good enough recently to kind of guard, like Texas, for example, even though Texas hasn't really been
back?
Much better.
They might be.
You could say that Texas has been a more successful program than Nebraska. And when you're trying to compete like NIL-wise and transfer portal-wise, it's a hard sell to go to Nebraska.
You know what Nebraska would have to do? And I know they didn't win a Big Ten championship, but you know Iowa, right? And Iowa this year wasn't that good. But like a couple years ago when Iowa was actually getting to Big Ten championship games and they had a very strong offensive line and run game, and then they had a very good defense. That's what you have to do at Nebraska, because you're not getting the people from California, you're not getting the people from Florida to come to Nebraska, especially with NIL and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. What you're going to have to do is you're going to have to recruit the Midwest. You're going to have to get Nebraska guys, Iowa guys. You need all those people that are going to want to come to you, because you're building the program that's going to make them look good, because you got the best running game. So running backs want to come there, or offensive linemen want to come there, defensive linemen want to come there, because they know they're going to be good and they're going to make a Big Ten championship game. That's what he's going to have to do. Don't really know if Matt Rhule's the guy to do that at Nebraska, but Scott Frost wasn't either. So
it's a tough job, man. But I will say the problem that I have with this hire is he was 5-22 in games decided by 8 points or less.
Yeah,
that is crazy.
And 0-14 against ranked opponents. Yep. And how did he get fired? He lost at home to Georgia Southern.
Yeah.
Do we want him as the Alabama offensive coordinator? I don't think so.
No, but the more we say no, I think the more Nick Saban's like, I'm going to hire him.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
he takes it as a challenge.
It would be just another accomplishment.
Yeah.
You know, another coach fix up. Next one, interesting one. Jason Garrett. How do we, you know, obviously needs no introduction. Cowboys coach for 8 seasons. Like you said, probably should have won a Super Bowl in there somewhere. Had some very talented offenses. defenses, you know, maybe not too much. A
couple good defensive players.
That's true.
Yeah,
you know, he was the quarterback coach with Nick Saban at the Dolphins for, what was it, one season?
Yeah.
I think it was one season. He has no college experience. And, you know, obviously he had that one little stint as the Giants offensive coordinator, and yeah, that was an absolute disaster. So I'd say that's probably the biggest hit on his resume. But how would we feel about Jason Garrett being OC at Alabama?
Yeah, I mean, Nick, you could probably speak more about him than maybe me and Adam can, but I mean, I don't really feel like this would, to be honest, I don't know how much of a step up this would be from Bill O'Brien. Like, I don't think Garrett would be like this exciting, crazy, you know, good schemer offensively. You know, all of a sudden we got guys getting wide open and you know, we're running those kind of creative plays. So I feel like this is probably the least likely one that's going to happen. Well, actually, I think there's a name we're going to name later that I think is the least, but I think Garrett's right next to that guy. And yeah, I just don't see this happening. I mean, no collegiate experience. You know, he was the head coach at the Cowboys for probably too long. So yeah, I don't know. I don't see that.
It's not terrible, but I think it would be an improvement on Bill O'Brien, but I don't want it. I don't want this hire. This is the one where I'm just looking at it just like Bill O'Brien, like when we hired him, you know, at least he had like some collegiate experience. You know, he was a head coach at Penn State for a little bit. But this guy, he doesn't know college at all. And I mean, I guess you don't really have to know college to be a good offensive coordinator, but I just don't think right now that's the move.
He can clap. He can clap real well on the sidelines, but
you know, the Sickos committee in me wants this more than anything, because I just think this would be hilarious. Just as a Cowboys fan, I just think it would be hilarious for Jason Garrett to be the offensive coordinator at Alabama. The Alabama fan in me, maybe not so much, doesn't want this. Look, like I've said, I mean, this is a guy that won two postseason games as a head coach. You know, obviously Dez caught that ball, but you know,
I mean, I don't think the offense was ever really the problem when he was the head coach there. So offensively, like, it's not terrible, but I just can't talk myself into being like, oh yeah, Jason Garrett's our offensive coordinator, you know?
It's yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think he would do better than a lot of people would give him credit for, because, I mean, that Giants year was pretty tough. I don't think Daniel Jones is really that good, in my opinion. But, I mean, I could see it. It's probably not, it's not my favorite name on this list, but it would be interesting. That is for sure. But, you know, like you said, it could turn into another Bill O'Brien situation fast. So, we've got Cliff Kingsbury. This is an interesting one. Yeah, recently back from Thailand.
Is he back?
He is back.
Oh, okay. He's got the job then.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Nick Saban probably left 500 messages on his phone.
Yeah. I think this, I would like this one, maybe, I would probably put him right between, like, the Joe Brady and Jeff Lebby one. Like, I think Kingsbury, obviously, really good offensive guy. Really struggled at Arizona. His teams were actually historic for being really good for, like, the first 5 weeks and stinking the last, you know, 12. But, yeah, I think, you know, he was a good offensive mind at Texas Tech. Obviously, he was Patrick Mahomes' coach, kind of notorious for having like 58 to 56 games at Texas Tech. So, you know, I'd like it. He has worked at, you know, in the SEC with A&M, you know, worked with, I believe, Johnny Manziel at A&M. So, you know, I wouldn't hate this in the slightest. Again, also kind of another, like the Scott Frost, like kind of career redefining his yeah, career, kind of starting over.
Yeah, another young guy, right?
Yeah.
And what I hated was Arizona sitting there like, oh yeah, this is the guy to be our head coach. And they had pretty good offense, but notoriously, you know, Kyler Murray played worse when it was double XP weekend with Call of Duty. But I would love this hire as an offense coordinator at Alabama. I did not like it when he's only been the head coach for a couple of seasons, and then it's like, oh, you're going from Texas Tech to the Arizona Cardinals as an NFL head coach. But coming back to college to be an offensive coordinator, I really like this one. So hopefully that's the only reason he came back from Thailand.
In his defense, like, the Arizona Cardinals should have never hired him for that job.
He should never
no chance. Coach. Zero chance.
There were people with way better resumes.
His last couple
of
tech teams were not that good. That one just really didn't make a lot of sense to me. But, you know, growing up in West Texas, I obviously know a lot about tech. He was great there. Great with the over 40 moms crowd,
Sure.
So, you know, I feel like it wouldn't really be a bad hire. It would be a nice PR hire for sure.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think he would be good. I mean, obviously the experience with Johnny Manziel, Patrick Mahomes, who I'll just give a quick score update. It's tie game. Bengals Chiefs tied at 13. Yeah. Bengals have the ball in KC territory.
Burrowhead Stadium.
Driving.
That's what they're calling it now.
But, you know, obviously, Patrick Mahomes might be the most skilled quarterback to ever play the game.
He's definitely up there.
I mean, his highlight reel is insane. But I don't think this would be a bad decision. I think this is a win on the PR front. I think people would be happy with this. I mean, obviously, he has experience coaching great quarterbacks. You know, you almost wonder if he could have coached up our wonderful quarterback this year that we wasted. But
that's the kind of splash hire that would get people talking about Alabama.
Yeah.
I mean, people are still talking about Alabama. But, you know, some of those other names, it's like, oh, you hired this guy. This would be like, oh, you got Cliff Kingsbury, you know.
Yeah. So. This is like a, to be honest, this is a, that would be a hire where it's like, okay, yeah, like they are not messing around on offense. Like.
Yeah, I would like this one. Like, you're probably going to have to give him a bag.
Yeah.
But, like, I like this one. Yeah. Like, hire Cliff Kingsbury. I don't think anybody would really complain.
Just do it.
Just do it. Come on, Taven. Last one, I think Joe's favorite. Greg Roman.
No.
Most recently.
No.
The offensive coordinator for the Ravens.
No, listen, okay. It was... So for maybe listeners who don't know, Greg Roman was recently, or he recently parted ways with
big
the Ravens, big air quotes, with the Baltimore Ravens. He was the offensive coordinator there. It's weird because kind of the big debate for the Ravens was whether his system was bad because he was a bad coach or whether Lamar Jackson just couldn't throw the ball enough to really fit his system. But if Jalen Milroe is the quarterback, Greg Roman might be a great hire. But seeing that Jalen Milroe is getting reps at receiver, that's probably not going to happen. Greg Roman's a really good run game developer. He kind of got his, I would say, kind of his big national break. He led San Francisco to the Super Bowl with Colin Kaepernick, kind of revolutionized it. But kind of the one problem with his offense is that has really plagued him throughout his career is that he starts off really strong. Like, he might have a good first season, good two seasons. Like, this is kind of essentially what happened to Baltimore and San Francisco. He had a good first couple seasons, and then it gets real bad. And it becomes real, like, to the point where, like, we need a game-winning touchdown drive to beat the Broncos 10-3. Like, that's the levels the Ravens are at. Like, 13 points on Carolina with your starting quarterback should just not be happening in the NFL. So Greg Roman, like, this is that guy I was mentioning, probably bottom of my list. Like, if he gets hired, I might transfer. Like, I don't know if I can handle watching.
Prepare
that
for the hour-long Joe rant.
Basically, for me, I'm just going to say what that guy said, and I mean, I don't want him.
So Adam, I'll give this. Me and Adam, so like, I'm a Ravens fan, Adam's a Steelers fan. We've had the two worst offensive coordinators in our own division, and it was a celebration when, you know, it was like people were like, you know, like Twitter and Instagram, like Ravens fans were celebrating him leaving, and divisional rival fans like Steelers fans, Bengals fans, Browns fans were like, oh, bummer, he left. So that's the type of hire it would be.
Yeah.
You know, I'll defend him a little bit, not much. But
no need.
You know, Alabama has kind of become a a leap pad, if you will, for another job. So, you know, you said he's only good for 1 or 2 years. Maybe we could get a good 1 or 2 years out of him.
Yeah.
And I also think it comes down to, okay, Nick Saban, who is going to be the quarterback next year? Yeah. If it's going to be Jalen Milroe, this might be a good choice.
Yeah.
If it's not going to be Jalen Milroe or a
Paul
similar
Tyson
quarterback.
Or a freshman coming in?
No.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, if you want to throw the football, you should not hire Greg Roman. Like, you should not. I mean, if you want, like, to be honest, and this is why he's actually, like, there are rumors that he might become the Navy head coach because he does not throw the ball well. He does not develop a passing game. Like, he was looked at Stanford. Stanford were interested in him because they love to establish the run. Navy's looking at him now because they never pass. So, I don't think this would make any sense trying to compete with, like, the Tennessees, you know, Texas's, those guys. I don't know why I said Texas, but, you know, Ohio State's, those guys.
So before, because I know that was the last guy you had on your list. So I have a guy right here that nobody's talking about. And I don't think it would be the best hire. But if we're talking about traditional Nick Saban hiring somebody you don't think he's going to hire to rehabilitate his career, this is your guy right here. His last head coaching job was 2006.
Oh.
And
never mind.
So he hasn't been a head coach in a while, but he's bounced around the NFL. He's actually only had one college job that he was fired from. He was kind of hired out of desperation to that job as well. And since then, he's been a fairly decent NFL assistant coach. Jacksonville Jaguars quarterbacks coach for a couple of years. Carolina Panthers quarterbacks coach right after they got Cam Newton.
Oh, no.
Carolina Panthers offensive coordinator for a couple of good years. New York Giants offensive coordinator 2018-19. Broncos quarterbacks coach for a year. And he is currently the Buffalo Bills senior offensive assistant.
Joe is not having this, by the way. I'm just letting everyone at home
know.
Bring him home. Mike Shula, bring him home, Nick Saban. He was fired for Nick Saban to get the job. Nick Saban brings him back to rehabilitate him into a head coach.
I don't think Mike Shula would take that.
Come on, it's his alma mater.
I feel like he would just think of himself too high.
Now the boosters wouldn't have him back, but I think Shula would take it if he was offered the job.
I can't yell on the radio, but just imagine me yelling no, like at the top of my lungs. Absolutely not.
It's the Michael Scott. No.
Yeah. No. I'm just, man. Yeah, that one's out of left field. Wow.
I'm just saying.
No, I'm sorry. I can't get behind
Bring him
that.
Home. Round circle.
Yeah, where was he this year? Senior offensive assistant for the Buffalo Bills. Yeah. How did that one go?
I mean, the
year?
Offense was good until, you know, Josh Allen decided to throw it to the other team.
Yeah, so
yeah, same thing with Dak.
Let's look at this. So Mike Shula at Alabama, 4-9, 6-6 with a Music City Bowl loss.
Ooh. How was that game?
10-2. He won the Cotton Bowl his third year, then 6-7, and he didn't finish out the year because famously Joe Kynes had to stop the inside
track.
Here's
the first thing. You know how you're talking about people that shouldn't have been hired in the first place? He shouldn't have had that job. Mike Price gets fired because he went to a strip club or had hookers or whichever one it was. But
say that?
Go for it.
I mean, that's why he was fired. And Mike Shula was then hired. You know, they brought him in.
And
he came in right at the end of our probation and scholarship reductions. His second year, we go to a bowl game. We lost to Minnesota. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis was a running back for Minnesota. He went on to have, you know, a pretty good, you know. Also, Lawrence Maroney. Might have had the first name mixed up. But they had a pretty good team. We lost. We had a year in which we did get into the top 10 in 2005. And then we lost to LSU and Auburn to finish out the season. And then we won the bowl game that year. And then he did not have a good 2006 year, but it did lead us to getting Nick Saban as the head coach. So you bring him back, and then you bring back one of his former players to be defensive coordinator in D'Amico Ryans, right? It's a full circle.
That would rival.
He's going to be an offensive head coach, or he's going to be the Texans head coach, I think.
Probably.
D'Amico. Yeah. Like, I mean,
I will say, technically, Mike Shula's last season, Alabama was 0-7 because it was adjusted by the NCAA. But realistically, yeah, 6-7. Yeah, I don't.
He came into a very bad situation and he didn't do the worst job that he could have. So,
I mean, there's something to be said, I guess.
Overall record at Alabama, 10-23 after the vacated victories.
10-23, yeah. Well, yes. What would it,
26 I mean, and 23 without the vacated victories. It says they had to vacate. Let's see. I think that's
yeah, right. They had to vacate 9 wins under him. I believe it was just 9.
16 during his tenure, I think is what they said.
So, but yeah. I don't. Yeah,
yeah, so his official record at Alabama was 10-23, 5-19 in the SEC.
That's officially. No, we saw how the games
true.
Went. I
true.
Saw how the games went.
That yeah. is very
no
true.
No one can take that games away from
look,
us.
A couple of those losses were in, like, quadruple overtime, too. Like, we had a game against Tennessee that went to 5 overtime.
Okay, let's stop justifying
the NCAA is rewriting history. He was better than the record books say, yeah, we swear. I mean, they also crowned UCF national champions. In the official record book, UCF is listed as co-national yeah. champions with
so,
Alabama.
Just don't listen to the NCAA. That's yeah. what we're at.
Yeah, garbage. That's why they don't run the sport anymore.
Very true. We'll be right back here on 97 The Capstan.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Final segment here on the college football wrap-up show here on 90.7 The Capstone, off-season edition. And now we get to talk about ESPN's favorite topic, Deion Sanders at Colorado. We're going to kind of talk about what he's done so far. Season hasn't even started yet, and he's probably the most talked about thing in college football right now. And we're going to look at their schedule for next season and predict how well, how bad it could go. So just kind of, you know, initially through the preseason so far, was Deion the right decision at Colorado? Or, you know, could he? I'll say this. Was Colorado a good landing spot for him? Could he have gone somewhere bigger?
Sorry, I didn't. I'll start off. I guess. I mean, I think it was good for Colorado.
It was
a great hire for Colorado. I mean, they just like the publicity they're going to get, the amount of player that they can now attract. I am interested just kind of see how it works because he is making a really, really big jump. I mean, he's going from Jackson State where he was essentially able to kind of like control all the talent into his team and he would just go out and play a bunch of teams that were just not really on the same level. So he won a lot. Not that that's necessarily a bad thing, but he won a lot there. But going from that to playing like, you know, at least his first what year or two, he's going to be playing like the Oregon, USC, UCLA, Utah. You know, Oregon State's kind of on the rise. So it's a hard job because Colorado is, you know, or they were at least last season, probably the worst Power 5 team. But I think if anybody can bring swagger to Colorado, it would be Deion Sanders.
Yeah. So Deion to Colorado. I like the move. Obviously, Colorado, great move by them. Deion, I think it's a good move. You know, obviously, everybody's talking about him. Everybody's going to be talking about him no matter where he went, even if you stay at Jackson State. I don't think this is his final head coaching job because I mean, I think he's going to do well here, and I think that he still wants one job, which I think he's wanted since the beginning, but he's never got, which is Florida State. And that's a job I think he wants to go back to where he actually played at. Don't know how well that's going to go now that Florida State looks to be, you know, a decent program again. You know, they got up, I think, almost to the top 10 this past season, a 10-win season and everything. If you had asked me a couple of years ago how I thought he would do in his first year there, I'd be like, no, you have to give the coach a couple of seasons. But we just saw what TCU did with a first-year head coach and a bunch of transfers coming in. They made a national championship. Not saying it's going to happen here, but you already see all the talent that's transferred in and then how much their recruiting has changed since he got there. I think they could be you know, the surprise team, not saying that they'll win the conference and, you know, be in a championship game, but I think, like, a couple people, national media, have talked about it. You know, year two is probably the year you're looking at him maybe competing for the Pac-12 championship. But I think with the way that the transfer portal and everybody that's came into that program, I think they could potentially, you know, be a surprise team next year, possibly winning the championship. Not national, yeah, but winning the Pac-12 championship, because the Pac-12 is still, you know, it's not like he's coming into the SEC or going into the Big Ten. You know, it is still on the rise as a conference, but still kind of that mid-level Power Five.
Very true. I think that, A, this is a home run hire for Colorado. Couldn't have done any better. I mean, everyone's talking about Colorado now, a program that won one game this past season.
They've only had one winning season since, like, 2005.
I mean, that's been bad. It's unbelievable. Like, Deion is the content king of college football right now. Everyone's talking about Deion. I don't know if y'all saw that video where he goes to the older lady's house, where she was, like, one of the OG Colorado fans. That was pretty cool. You know, I love all the stuff that I'm seeing on social media with Deion, you know. I think this was a good landing spot for Deion because this is a place where he can control everything.
Yeah.
Like, there was a bunch of people talking about, you know, the Auburn job was, like, thrown up in the air. Like, you know, maybe he goes there. But you can't control everything there. Like, you have to deal with boosters, and, like, that's a big problem. Like, he is such a personality. Like, he wants everything done. Like, he wants, like, I saw a video on social media where he's talking with the uniform, like, the guy who creates the uniforms, and he's, like, talking about minute details about how, like, everything is correct, how everything, you know, has to be exactly how he wants it. But, I mean, he did something truly special at Jackson State. I mean, he literally got a 5-star player to go to an HBCU, which is unbelievable, like an FCS school. But at the same time, you know, well, you know, I'll get into that in a minute. It's a home run hire for Colorado. It's great for Deion. I think, you know, he's pretty happy about being there. He can control everything that he wants to about the program.
Now, before we get into the actual schedule, what is success in year one for a school that's only had one winning season since 2005, I believe, and then only won one game last year? Because, you know, a bunch of people are already talking about, oh, if he doesn't make a bowl game, then it's a failure. But it's like, look.
I think Colorado realistically, I mean, if you win like four games,
it's definitely an improvement.
That's, I mean, yeah, it's an improvement, and I don't think that would be totally unrealistic for them. And like you said, we'll get into the schedule here in a minute. But, I mean, it's hard because as much as Deion Sanders is a good coach and he's bringing all these good players in, you still pretty much have a foundation of a bunch of players that just went 1-11.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, you can't – like, you know, I mean, Nick Saban went 7-6 in his first year.
I mean, granted, a lot of that core did transfer because, as Deion said, you know, he's bringing his luggage with him, and it's Louis.
I'm just thinking, you know, a bunch of people are already talking about, you know, with Deion coming. Like, I mean, I even said they could be a surprise team, but, like, we don't need to talk ourselves into, oh, they're going to be this great thing, and then, you know, they win five games, and then everybody's like, oh, he was a failure in his first year.
So
it's like,
not really. I don't think you can judge a successful season for Colorado this next season on just wins and losses. I think you have to judge it on how they look on the field. I mean, like, they're going to be playing some really, like, way more talented teams than them, like, higher caliber teams that have had, you know, a lot of success. So, I mean, like, if you can go, like, if Deion Sanders goes into, like, I don't know, like an Oregon or Utah or someone, and keeps it close. I mean, yeah, it's a loss, and maybe it's a loss that, you know, they've lost 6 or 7 games already. But if you take a team like that to overtime, you can see an improvement from, you know, a team that was just god awful in conference.
So. Yeah. So I want to preface this, like, kind of Deion success by saying, like, I don't think it's just about football.
Yeah.
In Colorado, because already he's changed what Colorado is. Everyone's talking about Colorado. one of the things that we talk about a lot with Nick Saban is how much enrollment increased, you know, with Saban's success, the football program, bringing in money to the school, how much of a value he really is. And I think Deion's kind of doing the same thing for Colorado. I think people know more about Colorado now. They're more willing to say, oh, yeah, I'll go to Colorado. That'd be a cool place.
I mean, if
go.
You've actually ever been there or, you know, even just seen, like, what the campus and everything looks like, it is really nice. Like, you would want to go there if you visited there, but a bunch of people don't visit there because, you know, it's Colorado, you know. Right. They're not leaving, you know, their hometown. But, I mean... We have a lot of out-of-state people come to Tuscaloosa, Alabama now. So,
but, I mean, like, it's hard to understate, like, how different this challenge is compared to Jackson State.
Yeah.
Like, he went to Jackson State. Like, he changed the whole atmosphere around HBCUs. And that, like, he should be commended for that.
He changed the conference.
I mean, he's paying for players' meals out of his own pockets. Yeah. I mean, he's paying for brand-new uniforms. Yeah. I mean, HBCUs didn't even have their players' names on the back of the jerseys before Deion.
You kind of talked about it a little bit, but, you know, we didn't really know all of what Deion was doing down there, you know, right off the bat. And now you see what happened with the Ed Reed situation where it's like,
yeah, I mean, that whole situation makes Deion look like the greatest coach ever. But, you know, obviously we talked about it, like, taking a five-star to HBCU is crazy. But I will say, like, this is going to be a tough transition. I mean, like, granted, you're playing in the SWAC, not, like... You know, he's bringing all the talent that would have gone to these other HBCUs. Yeah. Everybody wants to go to Jackson State. You know, he was 27-6 his entire record. But I will, like, just so everyone knows, Jackson State does not play in the FCS, like, playoffs. Because HBCUs, you know, they play in the Celebration Bowl, which... Jackson State did lose both of them.
Teams that they really should have beat.
Yeah,
exactly. Like, yeah, I mean, if you have a five-star and you're losing in the Celebration Bowl to another HBCU.
To a team, I think that went 6-6.
That's tough.
But anyway.
But granted, where were those Celebration Bowls played? In Mercedes-Benz at Atlanta. So, like, I mean, just he changed the whole atmosphere.
Well, they've already been played there.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, still, like, you know, they had, I think, they had several games on ESPN. Yeah. I mean, that's unbelievable. But, yeah, I mean, this is a completely different challenge for Deion.
Yep.
So, we'll kind of get into their schedule here. First game up, they've got TCU. This, to me, is a trap game. Like, I think that they do have a legitimate chance to beat TCU because I think TCU is coming in, like, off a high of last season. It's going to be it's going to be impossible to match what they did last year. I wouldn't even think that they're going to be the favorites in the Big 12 next year, in my opinion. And I think that this game, like, could be really overstated early.
So
because you know it's going to be on ESPN. Yeah. And if they were to win this game, like, people are going to be like, oh my gosh, Colorado's going to win the national championship.
I do think sorry. I was just going to say, I think if this game was in anywhere other than Texas, I think Colorado has a real good shot of winning it. But the fact that it's at TCU, and I mean, I get that they are coming off of a high, so, you know, it is how they regroup. But I have a feeling that it's like your first home game since you had a historic season. You know, I think that fan base is going to show up, show out, because they've seen it happen. They want to do it again. I think it's a trap game for TCU, but I don't think Colorado can win.
So TCU and Colorado did play week one last season. TCU won the game in Colorado, 38-13. However, at halftime, they only had a 7-6 lead. And this was a Colorado team that ended up winning one game. And this was a TCU team that was in the national championship. So, not saying Colorado can win the game. But I don't think it's just going to be... I mean, a bunch of people are going to, you know, say, oh, TCU should, you know, blow them out first game of the year. Which maybe they should. But.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily... I don't think TCU maybe should be blowing them out.
When I say trap game, I mean it, like, as a trap game for, like, everyone's going to perceive, like, this game as being huge when it's probably, in all reality, not going to be.
No.
Like, I mean, where do TCU and Colorado finish at the end of the year?
Yeah, I mean, if you're
I feel like TCU is very, like, going to be super – rightfully so. You know, we talk about, you talked about how, like, you know, if you win the national championship, you should be the number one, like, going into the next season. So, you know, TCU will probably be pretty high to start the year, but I think it's, like, very, it has the potential to be like, overrate this game way too much. It's on ESPN. Yeah.
Halfway through the season, we might be talking like, oh, TCU wasn't really all that good, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, win or loss for TCU? I'm going to take loss.
I'll go loss.
For Colorado?
For Colorado. Okay. Does Colorado win or lose this game?
I think they lose the game, but I think it's close.
Okay. Next up, we're going to kind of pick up the pace a little bit. Nebraska.
I think they win this game.
At home.
I think they win this game. Deion Sanders' first home game.
It's going to
probably
be crazy.
The loudest Colorado's been in a decade plus. And you're playing a Nebraska team that really isn't all that much, like, worse.
And they're still in, like, super rebuild mode. Like, we're several years from Nebraska actually being.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you're kind of playing, to be honest, they're very evenly matched, probably talent-wise. I think Colorado wins. I'll go ahead and I'll also just say I think they win. Colorado wins the next two just to pick up the pace a little bit because the next game is Colorado State at home. So I do think they win those two. So
yeah, I definitely think Colorado wins this game. Is that the same week that Alabama plays Texas?
Yes, I believe so.
Because if it is, I'm staying here. But if it's not, I might take a trip out to Colorado.
Yeah, that game is definitely sold out. Yeah. Like 100%. That could be sick. That's going to be a great night at football. If that's actually true, that it is Texas. That's going to be a good week. I'm going to say so.
I think they win that game, and I'll take a win on Colorado State. As well.
Yeah, I think win-win. I mean, if they lose Colorado State,
it is that Texas week.
Yeah, that's going to be a great week. Next up, we got Oregon. And this is, like, my big thing about this schedule where I'm just like, man, there's so many good teams on here. It's actually unbelievable. Yeah, there's no shot they win this game.
I don't think they win the in Eugene.
On the
against
road.
Bo Nix, who's going to win the Heisman next year, like, no shot.
The Heisman train runs through Eugene.
Yeah,
so
I think Oregon wins that one.
And then USC. So you get Oregon, USC in back-to-back weeks. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm the minority here. I actually think Colorado's going to win that game. But obviously, this is a January prediction. Like, this is I might feel differently the week of the game, but like
we're going to write down these predictions.
Yeah. We will hold each other through them.
But look at it. Like, it's a home game. The place is going to be rocking, especially if they've already won their other two home games. Like, USC, they don't really play that well on the road.
I was going to say, I actually think USC for a little bit struggled with Colorado this
past season.
Yeah,
it was close
season.
That first half down in LA.
I believe. So I wouldn't be maybe as shocked as I normally would be if Colorado beat USC, but I just don't see how they can beat USC.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That is the first field storming at Colorado.
Yeah.
Nebraska game might be.
As epic as this is, that okay, no. They cannot storm the field against Nebraska. Come on. Okay, what?
I mean, you beat Colorado State, your rivals. You're not storming the field? 2-1?
Oh, yeah. That's
two
statement
wins.
Statement win for Deion at Colorado. Anyway, yeah, no, absolutely 0% chance that they beat USC. If they do, I'll own up to it. Write it down. Arizona State, win.
I'm taking a win.
I want to say win because Arizona State's such a mess. But
who they got? Drew Pine?
Yes.
I believe
it's Drew Pine. But I don't know. I'll say win for right now, but, it's also like, I don't know if I really believe Colorado's going to be 3-3, but I just kind of...
I mean, Arizona State's the type of school that fires the coach before he even gets off the field.
So. Yeah. I mean, that is a good point. I think they're in such a mess that they don't have a home field advantage. So I'll go Colorado State win.
Yeah.
Or Colorado win, sorry.
I believe I said W for Arizona State. Okay, Stanford.
Win.
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 UCLA.
As much as I really don't like UCLA, I'm going to say that UCLA wins that game.
I'm going to be honest. That game's in, or it's at UCLA.
Yeah.
Like, well, there's nobody who's going to be there.
What I'm saying. Deion might, like, recruit fan bases to go to that game.
They pack out the Rose Bowl?
I mean, pack out the Rose Bowl. Everyone's in black and gold.
You know, that would be sick. I feel like if there was a game to be sold out there, it would be that game.
It would be. And I think Colorado can win that game. I think... I'm not going to say they will, but I think they have a really good shot of upsetting that.
Okay,
that
quick run through the last
probably
couple
first
games.
First field swarming at a UCLA loss.
We're going quick. Oregon State.
I'm loss. Going win.
Loss.
I'm going to say loss. Arizona.
I'm going win.
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 On senior day. Washington State.
Loss. It's at Washington State. Loss.
I'll take a win at Washington State, but then
I don't
loss
I,
next
you
week.
Don't, I don't think you win at Washington State in November.
I'll take an L here. Utah.
That's a loss.
Yeah, loss. And then obviously
they got would on not the, make they got the it on the schedule. They got it on the schedule.
They got it on the schedule. Deion's ready. Yeah. Anyway, folks, that's going to do it for us.
What do we think it was? Did we all kind of come 5-7? Is that what it?
I think we were pretty much.
I think mine was a little
that.
Higher, just because I saw him winning. You know,
we'll compile it for next week. We'll get it on the agenda. Yeah. I'll shout it out at the beginning
think,
of the show.
I think that would be more than any Colorado fan could ever expect.
Definitely.
Yeah. Anyway, that's going to do it for us, folks, here on 90.7 The Capstone. Thank you for joining us. Same time next week.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.